Good morning and welcome to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us this morning. Welcome to your Friday. I hope the sun is shining somewhere. May not see much of it this weekend. I don't know about Detroit, Pastor Zwanitzer, but maybe the weather up there was a little bit more consistent. No, same kind of variation.
The wife talked to someone yesterday, gloomy and gray.
Gloomy and gray?
So it's better here.
Yeah, but you see, last weekend I got a little bit of a sunburn. I was cutting the grass, working in the yard. Now it's going to snow. Welcome to St. Louis.
Yeah, why not? Beautiful here.
Pastor Rod Zwanitzer is our guest this morning. He's the director of KFUO, Worldwide KFUO. You know, the word Lord is going to come into our study of Psalm 136 today. Should I refer to you as Lord as we...
Never. Never.
It's the Lord of KFUO. Because we're going to have to talk about what that word means. Well, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
You are a fun guy. I tell you, one of the best bosses I ever had, and I'm not just saying that because this is live.
You're just looking for the Christmas party. Me too.
I'm looking forward to getting invited for a change.
Yes. Consider yourself invited.
Well, thank you. I will be there. When you were in the pastoral ministry, not all that long ago, how important was the Psalter to your work as a pastor?
You know, I think it's vital because in so many levels and ways, the Psalms are vital because when you look at the Psalms, you're looking at the B.C. before Christ hymnal.
That's right.
You know, today the pastor might stand up or the cantor and say, today we're going to sing Psalm 136. And so on that level, it's significant. And on another level, equally as vital, you're looking at a magnificent prayer book.
It is a magnificent prayer book. And especially this psalm, I think Dr. Steinman, I've got to give him credit. When I put this series together, I called Dr. Andrew Steinman at Concordia Chicago. He wrote the CPH commentary on Psalms and Proverbs, and I said, I'm looking for the best five that maybe fit into this time of year. And he gave me five Proverbs, and he gave me five Psalms, and this is the last of those 10. And I think this one hits Advent and what we're doing in the season of Advent just beautifully here. This guy knows what he's doing, I think.
Steinman. The psalmist?
Well, both of them. I'm not going to take anything away from the psalmist. I think Dr. Steinman, and I would commend to your attention, if you're looking for a gift for someone, you know, check out cph.org and look at the commentary series.
Wonderful stuff.
Dr. Curtis Giese, Dr. Andrew Steinman, you're interviewing on the book of Matthew with...
Sure. Jeff Gibbs.
Jeff Gibbs.
And also, Roland, we might mention, they have this new commentary series, which is more down to the level of a layperson, if I could say it that way, that I think they had the first volume out on Colossians and something else, and now a new one coming out in Revelation and something else I don't remember.
The Reader's Edition of Revelation.
Yeah,
great.
Reader's Edition.
It's
that's
great.
It. So for those two, make great gifts to yourself or somebody else.
See, we're a couple of book guys.
Yeah.
That Book
yeah.
Talk is the program that you host in the afternoons, and the second half, sort of Jeff Gibbs 2.0, is this afternoon at, what, 2:30,
2:30,
right?
Yeah. And Jeff is so steeped in Matthew and the Word of God that he's just a great interview, as you know.
Yeah, as if the listeners want to have some fun, get a pen and a piece of paper and make a little check mark every time you hear Dr. Gibbs use the word presupposition.
Uh-huh.
He's really focused me in on that. Hey, before we pray and get started, can I do something here? Just a quick announcement that I think has some meaning for you as well, because when you were at the seminary, where did you do your vicarage?
Vicarage.
Or here, in St.
Redeemer
Louis,
in Evansville, Indiana.
But you also have a connection to Emmanuel in Olivet.
Emmanuel Olivet.
Did I get that wrong about vicarage?
Oh, fieldwork.
Fieldwork.
I did my fieldwork.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where I was confirmed.
I saw the picture.
Yeah. Well, very dear lady there, the daughter of Walter Hoffman, Pastor Hoffman, who confirmed me, sent me a copy of my, oh my gosh, it's so long ago, confirmation class picture. And she asked me if we would make a mention of something that's going on there tomorrow. They're having their cookie fair. I don't know if they did this when you were there or not.
I don't. I probably didn't have time.
But this is, if you don't have time to bake, busy time of year, would consider going out to Emmanuel in Olivet. They have, it's Saturday, December 8th. That's tomorrow. Starts at 9 a.m. Get there early. I would say if the cookies are as good as I hear they are, get there early. It's going to be at the church. They're at 9733 Olive Boulevard, right there at the corner of Olive and Warson.
Right. Great right church.
There, right. You know, so where Olivet meets Creve Coeur on Olive.
Right.
Get out there, and I remember Walter Hoffman.
I do too. I met him there in my fieldwork time. Very, very wonderful pastor.
Well, thank you for that courtesy. If you would start us with prayer, and we'll get right to this.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to impress upon our hearts, as only you and the Holy Spirit can do, that you have a plan of salvation which is loving, which is gracious, which is merciful in Jesus Christ and him crucified on our behalf. May we continue to trust in that with all our heart and want to spread it all over the world at the times and the opportunities that you provide. May this day be such an opportunity. You would open all of our hearts to the truths found in your Psalter. For we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And of course, you know the email, but I'll give it to you anyway, kfuo@kfuo.org, if you want to get in with a question or comment. And just one more thing about Emmanuel. If you haven't been there recently, just remodeled the sanctuary. Beautiful.
That's what I heard about that.
You should go check that out.
Yeah, Paul Snyder told me all about that. So a shout out to Paul and Walt Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Psalm 135 and 136 are very similar, but I think I like this one because this is more the collect. This is more the church, I think, responding back to God for the things that he has done for us. But I don't know why there's this emphasis on recounting the works of God in the past. Shouldn't we be looking forward? Isn't everything about new and fresh and what's he doing now and what's he saying now?
Well, no, the emphasis shouldn't be there. The emphasis should be, I think, think of it this way. What's the difference between time as we see it and understand it and live in it and eternity? So from eternity's perspective, you know, a day. In ours, billions of years, maybe thousands of years. And so for God's the same, and I think that's what this Psalm 136 says, Roland, is he kind of treats people the same of all times. He doesn't treat people different in different times, different dispensations. He is consistent, and this Psalm 136 speaks of it.
That's that steadfast word
yes.
that's used over and over and over again repetitively.
26 times, I believe.
Yeah. Now, as a foretelling of a greater narrative, how important is Exodus to understanding the gospel, and let alone Christmas?
Mm-hmm. I read a commentary on this which spoke that probably referring more here to in this expert's opinion of Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy takes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers and summarizes them.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
here's
yeah.
to me the real tie. Deuteronomy is set that they're on the edge, ready to go into the Holy Land, and Moses is at the end, and so he's recounting in sermonic form all this what's happened. And so I think that's kind of what the psalmist is doing here.
You know, God comes to us and then bids us to draw near to him. I think 135 is more about the personal drawing near. And this is, like I said, the church. This is what I like about this because explain to me how this works musically. If the music has been lost a long time ago, but it seems that perhaps the cantor would call out, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And then the congregation might respond, for his steadfast love endures. Is that how it would work?
Well, we don't know for sure, but we maybe suspect that antiphonal, that's a big word for it, the back and forthness.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, what then is flashing in my brain is chanting of the Psalms in church. I love that. And, I've been in congregations, Roland, where people said, we can never do that. And then you get them into it. You'll never take it away from some of those people that it's so.
Why?
And so that antiphonal back and forth here, maybe even a choir in the congregation or the cantor, the pastor. How fantastic is that?
Yeah, that's why don't we do this more?
Well, we all you out there, go talk to your cantor, go talk to your pastor, encourage them to do such. But this back and forthness is highlighted for me. That it speaks an eternal truth over all times, over all ages.
Well, the first verse, as I read it, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. God is good, but define what good is. Because, I pass you in the hallway, I say, how you doing, Rod? You say, I'm good. Well, but what does good mean in context to God as one of his characteristics?
Well, I think when we talk about good, we have to get into the context of sin and absence of sin. So good is absence of sin. So God, when he does good things towards us, towards his creation, it's all with the proper motivation. It's all with the right attitude. Always fair, always balanced, always just.
Does it mean nice? God is always nice?
Well, nice in what sense?
Well, that's what I mean. The word
and
good is kind of lost.
I think I'm back to sin, back to law and gospel as I must go.
Yeah.
And so this God, and he has a name there in verse 1, Yahweh, the Lord. He's Tov. That's the Hebrew for good. And that Tov, that good, has a covenant relationship, and I'm going to get into that a little bit with this antiphonal response 26 times in the psalm. And I think the second line, as Dr. Steinman would probably say in wisdom literature, in the Psalms and in Proverbs, you have two parts to what we have said is a verse. So the second one explains and defines the first. So what does it mean that we should give thanks? What is it about his good? For his steadfast love endures forever. That's good.
Verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. What is the distinction between God and Lord?
Well, they're somewhat similar, but you could think of some hierarchy. Here we have, in the English, God and Lord are capitalized, and gods and lords are all lowercase. So it's distinguishing, I think, God's singularness, his uniqueness. He's the only game in the God and Lord business. All the others are phonies and irrelevant, not at all what we need. None of them have steadfast love, which endures forever.
Hmm. Well, I was thinking about that great Thomasine declaration about my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
And is that just a repetitive, or just is one the, I don't know how to really put this. Is one sort of the authority, and the other is the power to use that authority? One is the God, one is, I don't know.
I don't either. Maybe Jeff Gibbs or an Andrew Steinman can unload that for us. We'll leave that to them. But, to me, they're pretty synonymous. God says when Moses asked him at the very beginning in Exodus, hey, if I do decide to go talk to this Pharaoh guy for you, and he asked me, hey, what's your God's name? What am I going to say? And he says, Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yahweh, Yahweh. I am that I am. I think it's kind of synonymous, and we have all those names, for Jesus, who is Lord, Lord of Lords, and so I like all of them, and so it's like saying, out of your 10 kids, which one you like the best? I like all 10. So I'm not sure. That's a good question, Roland, and I'm not the one to answer it.
Well, it just struck me as I was spending some time with this morning that Lord has to have God is the power, and Lord is the authority, is the way it sort of came to me. Because there has to be a reason why Thomas says, my Lord and my God.
Uh-huh. Well, and it could be that he's understanding in his time that these two words are equated importantly. And so he's saying, you're the guy that fills both bills. You're the guy that fills the whole picture for me. I'm not going to leave anything out. Now that I've seen you with the cross bruises and those marks tell me that you're the real McCoy.
So as these are constructed, we get an imperative, give thanks. We then get a condition of God, goodness, for example, and then a reason to thank and praise him. His steadfast love endures forever. And then the balance of the verse seems to break out, creator, judge, savior, and so on. God has worked great things in the past, but is this also a prophecy of things to come?
Well, I think it's the refrain, the second part of each verse. And we have a huge, important Hebrew word here that's tough for English to handle. The Hebrew word for steadfast love, as this translation that you and I are using here translate it, is the Hebrew word chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, if you transliterate it into English. Chesed is I remember in class, Dr. Schreiber says, you know, we'd have to use pages to define it. But then your Bible would be so big, you guys would have to have little red flyer wagons to pull your Bible into class. And Kess said, steadfast love is really a pretty good translation. And I think in essence what it means, Roland, is that God is always going to be faithful to execute his covenant, his legal agreement with human beings. I will be God and you won't, you'll be my people, was the basis of it. And then we know as that developed, it goes back to his promise of a covenant to you know, break all the power of sin, death, and the devil that he told us back there in Genesis 3 through this Messiah, this Christ. And, you know, there's a interesting passage with this, one of my favorites, in Hosea chapter 6. I'm going to flip to this, that says that here's the difference and why this is so important, this chesed, this steadfast love of the Lord that endures forever, that's going to be around for us today. This is Hosea 6, beginning at verse 4. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? And he's talking about the northern, southern kingdoms of that time. Your chesed is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. I always remember when I was out in the Bay Area of San Francisco, get up in the morning, you're out Berkeley or Oxford, one of those, and it's just thick fog. And you're thinking, this is never going to roll away, and it burns off and evaporates. And so God is saying, our faithfulness to our part of the covenant agreement, is it burns off really quickly. But God's chesed, it is forever and ever. This God's chesed is always there, and it's always happening for our good. And then he goes on in there to say, in verse 6 of Hosea 6, for I desire chesed and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And our Lord quotes that.
So it's not mercy. I desire steadfast love.
That's what you can get in English. Yeah. And you know, you would say, is it wrong? No. Because is where is his promise to be faithful to us in his mercy shown in Jesus dying and rising again? So all of that is packed in there. And so, you know, when I'm hearing his chesed endures forever, that's what I'm hearing. Hey, what's the new covenant, the new testament? My body and my blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. There you go. That steadfast love, that chesed, is going to endure on into eternity.
And that relates to, I will never leave you nor
forsake you. Amen.
So if that love endures forever, we don't have to worry about ever being forsaken?
Right. He will never walk away from us. We might choose to walk away from him, and we have a choice to do that. He's never going to walk away from us. His chesed, his faithfulness to always act as he promises, is always going
to
be there. Never,
and we have
never
nothing
fear.
To do with that. See, that's the big thing, the distinction between Lutheran theology and what might be, you know, Calvinist or Reformed covenant-type theology.
Theology of glory, we call
it. Yeah, something that's dependent upon us to enable an act or to apprehend the promises of God. But, well, I guess the question is, if we trust him, he will do great things, or he does great things in spite of us?
Yes. Absolutely.
I try and get every pastor to say that at least twice during every program.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So when you try to get to break up God and put him in little buckets or categories that maybe you think are more important, that's not right. That's not good. And so God is holy. He is good, as we have in verse 1. And so we give thanks to that we always know what we're going to get out of God. He's a known quantity, and you can take it to the bank.
The recitation of all these things, that we're going to get into creation and rescue and all these different things as we go through this psalm here. Why do we have to remind ourselves of this? Because, I mean, I guess perhaps we're just prone to want to take a little credit for ourselves. Maybe it wasn't. Okay, there was that pillar of fire and smoke, but really, was that what did it?
Yeah. Or this one where I think it all began and continues. Don't you really want to be as smart as God? And you know, you and I just didn't fall off the turnip truck. We know that we can do that if we just put ourselves to it. We can do anything we put our mind to, even be as smart as God. And you know, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah. Well, that's the trust issue all the way back to Genesis.
Yes.
You know, I guess Joshua sort of summarizes that. Who are you going to trust?
Right.
And basically, who are you going to serve this day?
Who's your Lord? Who's your God? Who's got it all together and you don't?
And Adam and Eve chose themselves.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I keep coming back to that. Thanks. You know, it was going so well. Verse number 4 here. To him alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. To the sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. To the moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Well, this seems to me sort of a synopsis of Genesis.
Yeah, I'm back to my Deuteronomy thing, you know. A summary of the first 4 books of the Torah, the Pentateuch, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He's saying, this is the Creator God. And you know, I had on an old friend of yours, Colonel Jeff Williams, yesterday in Bangkok.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the astronaut.
I told him I was so envious of the picture I saw of you and Gary Duncan. Because,
yes.
you know, Colonel Williams, kind of a hero of mine, a Lutheran that's up in space a few times and took these marvelous pictures that he put in this book.
Yeah.
And you know, that made me think of that. When it says God spread out the earth above the waters, made these great lights, and Colonel Williams has these beautiful pictures of that from space. Wow! I mean, if you want a great book to give to somebody or put on your coffee table, The Work of His Hands by Jeff
gorgeous.
Williams.
Yeah, gorgeous,
and
gorgeous book.
You know, he's like saying from up there you see the Earth in a totally different perspective.
You want to be really jealous? I got him when he was here to write a commendation to my girls. And our copy of it.
How nice.
Yeah, and he actually got to meet both of them, which is pretty cool. Great guy.
And so who alone, that's what verse 4 is getting at, who alone has done all this? Like he asked Job, have you ever tried any of this before?
Well, no.
And so each of us, you know, seeks to put our arms around all that wisdom and all that creation, all that understanding.
This is God's possession.
Not going to get there.
See, and that's the thing where I think we have such trouble with as a sinful and fallen people, that this is God's world. He made it. He can do what he wants with it in spite of what we may think. That's really just problematic, isn't it? Shouldn't he listen to us once in a while? Wouldn't it be a better place?
No. We should listen to him, and he, you know, we can't be, okay, God, it's yours, so you take care of it, because he says, I had given it to you humans to have dominion over it in my behalf, a stewardship, a management relationship. So we have to be good stewards and managers, even though we know God is going to be in control, because it's his creation.
And really this, now again, rein me in if I'm going too far afield here, but this isn't so much about how of creation, but why of creation.
And the fact of it.
Yeah.
You know, this alone is the Creator who has done these great wonders, and then he starts, you know, laying it out. Who by understanding, I wish I would have looked up the Hebrew on that, it might be wisdom, made all this. So he's got the knowledge to pull this off. For instance, let me give one example. He says he spread out the earth, this little planet above the waters, put us in a privileged position where all this can happen so magnificently. We know if we were a little bit too closer or further away from the sun, none of it's going to happen.
See, wisdom sparks a lot of things, because by him and through him all things were made. And Advent, one of the O antiphons where we bid the Savior come, is O wisdom.
O wisdom, yes.
Come.
Yes.
From
on high.
See what you guys do to me? You get all these synapses firing about all these connections.
Well, it's a mutual love thing with him, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It gets you going. This is the Bible Study on Worldwide KFUO. Our guest this morning is Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, the Managing Director of KFUO Radio. Worldwide, I have to keep remembering, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. You can join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO@KFUO.org. We're doing pretty well. Normally by the break, we're not even past one or two verses. We're almost halfway through.
We're flying.
You're a taskmaster. I appreciate that. We've got a few announcements for you. Don't forget, let me remind you again, that great
cookie sale
going on at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet tomorrow, 9733 Olive Boulevard. Starts at 9 a.m. Get there early. Good cookies to be had for Christmas. Save the effort. Go buy some. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFU. I love that, Messenger of Good News. Was that your idea, Rod? Because if it was, I got to thank you for it. I like being able
No. Team effort.
Team effort.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give away any inside baseball on what may be going on with the radio station in the near future? Or do you want to save that for a later time?
I think Gary Duncan, our director of operations, has spilled his guts about a lot of stuff.
He did. And
it's nice to see Gary so excited that we have started construction, actually physically started construction on our new studio space.
Now, people may not know what's been in the works here for a while.
Yeah. We've had it in the works for quite a while, and I'm just kind of the one that's kind of able to see it now begin and go to fruition. But we've started construction on a new site for the station to broadcast from at the Synod International Headquarters in Kirkwood, Missouri, on the third and the fourth floor. And we had an official kickoff meeting last Tuesday, and Gary and I were there, and so we're excited. He took pictures and posted them on our website.
On
you
Facebook,
can see them,
yeah.
And he's going to continue to do that. And we are we are becoming more worldwide. So hey, let's do this if we could. If you're worldwide, if you're somewhere outside the United States, or if you're on the border, Florida, New England, Montana, California, Washington, Oregon, call us in to talk about Psalm 136.
1-800-730-2727.
Let us know you're out there, worldwide KFUO.
Yeah. Or better yet, if you're that far away, the phone may not work, try the email. We hear from Ing-Marie in Sweden all the time.
Oh, yeah, what is that email address?
KFUO@KFUO.org.
That's easy.
It's just that simple. It is. It's just that simple.
Let's hear from you. What you think about God's steadfast love enduring forever?
Make a connection for me, because I'm really, you know, my wife and my girls, they want to decorate everything for Christmas. I want to spend some time in Advent. So I'm kind of the curmudgeon in my house. I want to really observe this Advent season. And it brings me back again to the whole idea of the Exodus, this dramatic working of God to separate his people from the unbelievers. And I was wondering if there's sort of a Christmas-Advent connection to that action. Does Christ come to separate people, separate the believers from? Because, you know, that's the way he's portrayed so much today.
Well, you know, he says that he doesn't, you know, in John 3, he says, I did not come the first time to bring judgment. But then he goes on to say, but, you know, judgment's already fallen upon those who didn't accept me. Those that did, you know, accept me, and they let me, they confessed their sin before me, and I cover it. And so I think there's that going on here, too, in this section, Roland. I really do. And it's always going to be that way. But, you know, one of the Christmas themes that I think is there is firstborn of Egypt, that Jesus is taken down into Egypt and brought out.
Yeah.
Hosea
I shall call
prophesied
my son
that.
Out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and Israel is reduced to Jesus,
yeah, to one. The nation reduced to one.
Yeah. So there's a lot of Christmas in here, isn't it? And there's the division, the Red Sea there in, 13?
13, yeah.
Yeah.
So why jump from creation to Exodus? What's the point of the psalmist in making that kind of a progression?
Well, I think, again, to Deuteronomy, he's kind of a really fast flash of history up until the writing here. And so he's got the problem, without saying it, of fall into sin, and all the slavery that happened. And then, you know, the biggest event in the Old Testament, he's going to zero in on the Exodus, the Passover. And so he's got it here. I struck down the firstborn of Egypt. This is the steadfast, this Kesed guy.
Yeah. So he creates everything. So then it's his privilege to decide who represents him in this world.
And we could say here, you know, it just hit me. If that first section, 4-9, is creation,
yeah,
this section is recreation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's
bringing
it.
New Israel out of this rebellious, stubborn, which Egypt and Pharaoh represent.
And there's that other word that we should spend a moment on, and that is called, being called out. You talked about Christ being called, my son I shall call out of Egypt. You're a called or ordained servant of the word, or at least you were when you were in the pastoral ministry. And I guess you have a call here to the radio
station. I hope
they
didn't strip
station.
Me of that.
Well, you're called here as well, right?
Oh, yeah, I was called and installed.
Yeah.
Yeah, called and installed.
So this calling, what is this all about?
Well, it's God choosing. It's God separating, and that's a mystery to us, but we thank him for that kesed, that steadfast love. breaking down our hardness. And
so when he calls us out, we respond how?
We're mystified and say, you know, thanks be to God.
Worship, this praise, says,
yeah,
thanksgiving.
Yeah, give
all
thanks.
All the things that this is.
Yeah,
this
chesed endures forever. And that's what how we thank him, is that his faithfulness to do exactly what he promised to his people, he's going to continue to do. He did it in the Old Testament Exodus, and now he's doing it in the New Testament Exodus.
So this is enduring thanks for the deliverance that we've all received, literal deliverance from the Egyptians, in the case here of the Israelites, but us from sin, death, and the devil.
Yeah, and this Israel he's talking about here is not Jewish people of that race. It's true believers in the promised Messiah, the promised Christ. So we got Christmas there, don't we?
Yeah. Funny how those ties together. It's almost as if somebody designed all this to fit together piece by piece.
Yeah, exactly. Roland, my point, very, very well. The unity of all of this, law and gospel, in both Testaments, and what's at the center of that? This Christ, this chesed of God. And so, you know, we could even, and we always, I was taught by just a great pastor down the road, Dr. Paul Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
With
the
Psalms, you know, you first apply it to the first listener, and the first listener would have all the Old Testament Exodus and Passover and Messiah stuff.
Yeah.
And now in ours, we find Christ. And so where do we find him? Hey, this is the guy that overthrows Pharaoh and Egypt, sin for us, sin, death, and devil, and the evil world, and leads us through the wilderness, which is this world, onto the promised land of heaven. Great stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was mentioned yesterday that, you know, this forming of Adam from the dust. Father is spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth. Who has the hands? Christ does. So who is actually the one doing the forming of man out of the earth?
Yeah, who put the living, breathing spirit in us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and then calls it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just as God guided Israel out of Egypt, he does the same for the church still.
Exactly.
Because the church is the new Israel, can you say that?
Exactly, and Dr. Robbie always talked about that too. The enemies, and we're going to get to this beginning in the next section with 17, the enemies of the church at that time, Israel, today it's the enemies of the true Christian church. And we've got them, don't we? Just as they had in Jesus' time.
I wouldn't have a second hour if we didn't have enemies in the church.
No, it would cut down a lot on our material.
You bet. Let's pick up at 10 here. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. I always see Heston when I hear that. Behold his that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host by the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. And let's pause there at the end of 15. So this is a recounting of how God separates Israel from Egypt. There's always this separation going on, whether it's the sheep and the goats at the end of time, or with Israel and the Egyptians. Now, this is an ongoing theme throughout all of Scripture.
I think we should call it salvation, because this is salvation history. You know, it amazed me when I first figured it out that salvation history didn't start in the New Testament. It was there back in the Old Testament. God was saving people, and he's talking about it here.
Yeah.
And he's really saving us in the same way. As you so wonderfully put it, Roland, the two testaments and all the books have the same message and the same themes, and that tells me they're divinely inspired.
Absolutely, yeah.
When you see all this, right?
Yeah. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to drag a little bit of the cultural perspective into this for a moment and get your response to this. When you look at this destruction of the army of Pharaoh, how is this an act of steadfast love to kill all these Egyptians?
Well,
did God hate the Egyptians?
Oh, no. But, you know, again, in salvation, at this point, he chooses not to let this enemy of him and his people and the church get wiped out. He brings them through this, and this is the biggest event that's happened in the Old Testament times before Christ. And so he is showing how it's really going to happen in the end. Not everybody's going to make it. Those that rebel against him, those that don't care for him, those that war against his people and do not repent and, you know, do the covenant thing of repent and return to him in the promised Messiah, their overthrow is going to happen easily as well because they're not on the right side of the sea. He lets his people pass through. Do you notice that? Yeah. He makes them pass through in safety, his people Israel, in 14. But when the Pharaoh and his army gets in there, you know, hey, let the boundaries drop, and they're killed. So
yeah, when the Red Sea parts, it's almost like a knee in the back.
Yeah.
They're not racing out there. Well, really, do we want to go out there? Are you sure?
Yeah.
He makes them.
A good brother of mine that I pastored with, Joel Baisley, we always like to look at each other and say, law or gospel, make my day. Kind of a Pastor Clint Eastwood. And so, you know, he looks at Pharaoh and says, do you want my mercy? Do you want my chesed? Or do you want the law? And Pharaoh says, I'll take the law.
Yeah.
And he hardens his heart in that to the point where even God says, I'll harden even more. And then he uses him in the plan of salvation. And that's the way God works. And so, you know, plenty of chances. But there comes a point, and Pharaoh and his army here met it, when God says, I've had enough. Judgment is yours. And that's what we're talking about. And the New Testament's the same way, isn't it? God's not going to let his enemies get away with it from ever. Might look like it to us, but we know generations, whenever he decides to come, it is going to not go good for those that choose the law.
Yeah, I have a line that I've used in some classes that I've taught at Ascension, my congregation, is God loves you so much, he'll give you whatever you want, including hell.
Unfortunately so. But he says, you know, don't choose it.
Right, exactly.
Don't choose it.
Yeah, and that's the other side of that coin.
Yeah, yeah.
But we go, no, that's okay. We know what's better. And we'll go on. And that's the story of Israel, too. Always, just like Adam and Eve, we know better. Who are you going to trust?
Right.
And that's why we keep repeating his steadfast love endures forever. This is an assurance that the trust is true.
Yeah. We could say it this way. Anytime a Pharaoh or an Egyptian rebel or anyone that does not like Christ and wars against his church sees the light of Christ and repents and returns to him, he's there. Open arms. You know? And that's what he continues to say. You know,
prodigal son.
To the very last minute that the real Exodus, Jesus, turns to Jerusalem right before the cross and says, hey, it's my desire, it's my will that you all come under my wings as chicks do when the chicken hawk comes swooping down. But you, you know, hardened your heart against me and you fought me. And now it's over, right?
Yeah.
And so there you go. There you go.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. See, you're too good. That's why they're not calling in.
Oh, please call in.
You're answering these questions before.
Please call in and just let us know you're listening. You don't have to even comment. Just call in and let us know where you're listening from, will you?
Oh, we know that they're out there.
Yeah.
Let's pick up at 16 here. To him who led people through the wilderness for his steadfast love endures forever. This wilderness wandering. Explain why Israel had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
Well, it's their stubbornness, because we know when they get out there, they're going after a while, hey, why'd you give us a passer like Moses and Aaron? It was better for us back in Egypt where we had good food, cantaloupe and mint and everything else.
Yeah.
And so, hey, why? God's got to deal with that. That rebellious attitude, even after he saves them, just like he does sometimes in the church. And so they're led through this wilderness, and what is 1 Corinthians 10 said? Most of them God wasn't very pleased with, and he let their bodies rot there in the wilderness, and only very few got to go into the promised land.
See, because much like the killing of the Egyptian army, this, we don't like to associate steadfast love with chastisement. We don't want to talk about consequence today.
Yeah.
But if God loves us, is there a consequence to God's love?
Wow. In terms of, I was looking at somebody called in.
We'll get him up in just a second. We will.
Repeat that, will you? I'm sorry.
Is there a consequence to God's love?
Such as?
Well, like chastisement. You're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years.
If you turn down his love, there is a consequence. I would say, if you don't accept that gospel, there's a consequence. Yes.
Oh, no, surely that can't be right, because, you know, Jesus is love and all
past. He's a jealous God. He's
a
zealous.
As you seek him in your way.
He's a jealous God. He's a zealous God, and he will not let any one of his created humans worship a created thing as much or more than him. And he told us that.
See, but you would think that love would mean letting them do whatever they want.
That's a human sinful interpretation. It isn't his.
Let's go to the phones. Pastors Wanted, sir. This is Bob. Bob's a regular with the program. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Roland. I heard your plea, and I'm calling in.
Thanks, Bob.
We have been delivered.
I'm letting you know that there is somebody listening down in Texas.
Where at in Texas, Bob?
We're in DeSoto, Texas. It's just south of Dallas.
I lived in Dallas for 5 years before I went to the seminary. Blessed place.
Oh, you live down here, huh?
I did. Great place. One of my favorite places to be.
You don't talk like a Texan.
I got it out of me, y'all.
Oh, I see. They pushed it out of you, huh?
They did. How y'all doing this morning?
doing real good. What I really wanted to call about was just to mention a way that we can support this wonderful kind of programming at KFUO. Through the donation program, you can go online and you can donate through use your credit card, and you can donate money to KFUO to continue these kind of programs. And I just want to encourage the listeners who have a desire to support the programs to go ahead and do that.
Boy, is that a great call, Bob. Thank you so much for that. And so many other worthwhile things to donate to that you hear on KFUO and around the Synod and around Christ Church. And so that's very nice to hear, and thanks for that, and thanks for listening.
And I do really appreciate you're taking the time to come on the program and to speak the Word of God. And especially I want to, you mentioned Paul Robbie. Paul is a relative of ours, and he, you're right, he is a tremendous, tremendous teacher. And I just want to echo the comment that you made about what a wonderful job he does, and all the seminary profs there at St. Louis.
Not only is he a great teacher, too, Bob, I would say he's a great preacher, a really good preacher and really good guy. So,
well, you know, he learned that from his dad.
His dad was quite the Bible man, too, wasn't he?
Well, you know, the thing about Bernard is that he was the Wisconsin, the mission director or something like that, you know, and he went out to New Mexico and out in that area.
Sure.
And then he started the building program.
Yeah, Laborers for Christ, weren't they called?
Laborers for Christ.
Yeah, great
Bernard
thing.
Was the
great
one
thing.
That started that, and it was actually a relative of his that said, oh, yeah, we can come on and help you, and that's what started it.
Great spiritual genes and heritage in that family, Bob, and you
that's
seem to be
exactly
right in there.
Right.
And yeah, quite a personality,
exactly right,
too, from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make a comment about the need for donations and to help support KFUO.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Bob.
Blessed Advent and Merry Christmas, Bob.
Thank you. And same to you.
Take care. Have a great day. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's finish up our text. We left off at 17.
DeSoto, Texas, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
DeSoto, Texas.
Yeah, it's great.
I guess you spent a little time in Canada, right?
Yes.
So they scrubbed all that out of you before they let you in, right?
It slips in every now and then. I love Texas.
To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel's his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now let's pause there for a moment. All right, so we have the creation of the world, we have the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, and now we have the entrance into the promised land.
And guess who's doing all the work?
What's that?
Who's doing all the heavy lifting?
Now, if I was
the,
paying attention,
and the,
I'd
and
say,
the medium lifting and the and the light lifting.
Well, you know the Sunday school answer.
Jesus,
yeah. Yeah. the Lord,
yeah.
For he is good.
And we give thanks because if this was left up to us on our own, you know, Og, that's a pretty intimidating guy.
He'd clean our clock, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Consistently.
And even though Israel's trust wavered, I guess this is really what we have to remember at this Advent season, God's love is still steadfast.
Yeah.
And it's not like Israel was there every step of the way going, go, God, we're on your side.
What Luther's saying is great hymn verse, he holds the field forever.
Yeah.
His chesed endures forever.
His chesed endures forever.
What Luther was saying.
Verse 23, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. When we see low estate, again, that's a very sort of anticipatory Advent phrase, because Christ comes to us in a lowly state. You know, God with us, God among us,
sure.
God Emmanuel. It is he who remembered us in our lowly... God rescues, and that's the theme for Advent. This is what we're bidding God to come and do when we bid for the Savior, right?
Yes. You know, and it struck me in looking at this whole psalm that these three verses are kind of the heart of it, you know, really salvation. Summarize, remembered us in our low estate, in our sinfulness, rescued us from sin, death, and devil.
Yeah.
And then, but the last one really kind of gives me a problem, who gives food to all flesh. I'm not sure why he threw that one in. Now, I read some commentaries on that in prep for this, and nothing really struck out to me except this rescuing us from our foes. This guy provides everything to them, too. You know, the rain falls down
on
both the wicked and the good. And so I'm not sure what this is all about. Or maybe it's that he gives the good spiritual food to everybody. I'm not sure. That's kind of going allegory,
this,
you know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what this... maybe get Steinman on and ask him what this verse is about.
Yeah, huh? All this stuff goes on because he does.
Or Robbie's really good with the Psalms, too.
Is he?
Oh, yeah, he did a lot of his doctorate on that, the poetry in Psalms. So we could ask Dr. Robbie sometime.
Look at the last verse. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. So we've sort of come full circle here, front to end. So far, God creates, guides, rescues, provides, and we remember him then because?
He's the God of all heaven and earth. And you
there
know,
ain't no one else.
I was thinking here, from heaven above to earth I come, that great Luther Christmas hymn, that this God is the God of heaven and earth, and he came here to rescue us. His chesed endures forever.
But we still have the scandal of particularity to deal with.
We don't, but the non-believers
do. Okay.
I don't have any problem with it.
Well, some of the church do. I mean, if you read a lot of the stuff that I have to read when prepping for like the second hour of the program, this is that, you know, all paths lead.
Yeah.
And the new church, the emergent church, is real big on this.
I'm not sure if you're not into the scandal, that scandal hasn't become the capstone on your grave, you know? That's what I think, and I'm not afraid to say it to anybody because I think that's what the Lord would say.
Yeah.
You know, you don't accept my scandalous death for the forgiveness of your sins, and what did Jesus say? You're ashamed to go and proclaim that?
Yeah.
I'm going to be ashamed to proclaim you.
Yeah.
So that terrifies me.
Well, this seems like bold proclamation here.
Yeah.
This seems like something we ought to be crying out to the world.
Yeah. Here's somebody calling in, hopefully far away.
They always wait till the last minute. Have you noticed? Yeah. The last 10 minutes is always a hot button.
Like Lutheran said, don't come in the pews until the end.
Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. So the church proclaims his love not for his sake, but also for the sake of the world.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones real quick here. Joseph, let's get you on real quick in our last minute of the program here. Thanks for the call.
But also for...
Joseph, it's up to you, buddy.
Yes.
Amen.
Hello.
I'm here. Turn your radio down.
Oh, yeah.
I love listening to myself, but not feedback like it is. Go ahead. You're up.
Yeah, I just have a thought in my mind while reading over the Psalms that we're going over right now. You know, that could be made into a puzzle to put together. You think?
Could be. What were you specifically thinking of there, Joseph?
Of all the different, from 36 on down and everything, you know, all of the words in there could be put onto pieces, like a puzzle, and all put together, like, you know, so it would read in the Psalms.
Sort of a progression as you add piece to piece to piece, you get the bigger picture. Is that what you...
Yes, yes.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Where are you calling from, Joseph? What part of the Lord's big earth do you live on?
I live on South City in St. Louis.
That's my neighborhood.
Yeah,
good
I know.
Place.
Go
good
to
place.
Your, I go to your church.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
I go to your church at Ascension.
That's right. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, too. Hey, thanks for the phone call this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. All right, well, that's it. See how time flies when you're having Bible study?
It does.
This hour just flew by, didn't it?
Great fun.
Pastor Rod Zwanitzer is the managing director of Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. He heads the ship here, steers it, and we're grateful for him. Thank you for your time this morning as well.
Invite me back, will you?
I shall. I know where to find you. You're just a floor up.
Thanks.
Coming up next, Ask the Pastor. Well, you know, it's always good when the pastor shows up early. I see him out in the hallway there. Pastor Kirk Clayton, maybe we'll do a little Christmas apologetic. Who knows? We'll be right back. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.